Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once or preferably twice a day until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step three is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception and have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is FleaGo, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my four-step flea program and you won't get any. Step four is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's four-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch. That will bring up the links that you need to stream the show. Now, you can be in touch with us while we're on the air in a couple of different ways. You can give us a call and talk to Kathy or Aji. Local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. And remember the one if you use toll free, 888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And speaking of that, got a special shout out to our friends at Mud Bay Granary, Mud Bay in Overlake. Got an email here from Robert, the manager, and he said, just wanted to pass on that we have Perfect Pals cats visiting today until 3 p.m. for in-store kitten adoptions. Woohoo! So, Perfect Pals Kittens at Mud Bay Overlake, and that's until 3 p.m. today. So you can listen to Animal World, and then you can pop in your car and buzz over to Mud Bay at Overlake. Their address is 13407 Northeast 20th. That's Bellevue, and the phone is 425-641-0815, 425-641-0815. And Robert says, if you could give it a quick mention, we'll love you forever. How nice is that? And he says, actually, we do. Anyway, we always have the show on the radio on Sunday mornings. Thanks a million.
Very smooth, Robert. Very smooth.
Yeah. And you know, Robert, I could use your help. Because if you could be like a little birdie in Lars's ear and you're advertising people, I mean, our Animal World sponsors, our longest term full sponsors were Bosley's Pet Food Stores. That's who started us out. Helen, you remember Bosley's way back then? Well, Mud Bay bought out the Bosley stores when they sold out. And then Mud Bay advertised with us for a little while, but then went away. Well, heck, you know, we really would love to be talking about all of your Mud Bay stores, and we would love your help in keeping us on the air. So how about you get us be a squeaky wheel?
Show us some love.
Yeah, show us some love, and let's get Mud Bay back in the family of Animal World advertisers, and then we could be talking about your events everywhere and all your stores and all that good stuff, and I could be interviewing you on the air. We could be making wonderful music together, don't you think? So anyway, shout out to all the folks at Mud Bay Overlake, and let's work together, shall we? Hey, hey, hey. Uh-oh, I'm going to show my age here. Anyway, get on over to Mud Bay Overlake and adopt a kitty from Perfect Pals and find out where the African safaris go, will ya? We need to know that.
We don't ask a lot.
No.
But it's really good stuff that we do ask.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of good stuff, thank you to Designing Health and Missing Link and our winner today. I forgot this in the first hour to give to you, but Beverly. One, and she chose the hip and joint formula for dogs. Hi, Bev. Haven't seen you. How come you haven't come to good company? So anyway, hope to see you soon. I know who Bev is. And anyway, speaking, never mind. A lot of people do really good things for animals. And let's see. If you need to contact me after the show, use MarthaNorwalk.com, click on Contact Martha. That will send me an email, or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. And if you haven't listened to my little Martha's commercials, you know, when I'm not doing Animal World, I'm being an animal behavior therapist and trainer, and I've been doing this professionally for more than 40 years. I work primarily with dogs and cats, and if you love Jackson Galaxy, well, you can have me in your home, and I do the same thing. And Victoria Stillwell or Caesar, I'm a combination of all of them. And I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So if you've got questions about your animal friends and you're not sure how to solve problems, call me. I'll talk to you for free to start with. And then I'll come and work with you in your home or work with you over the phone. I'm less expensive than anybody else out there. And you get free phone follow-up privileges once I've seen you and worked with you. So how cool is that? So it's Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. You can reach me at 360-217-7258. If you don't hear back from me immediately, bug my voicemail. 360-217-7258. And remember, I also write a column for the New Spirit Journal every month, and this month's all about kitties and kitty tips. And then I'm starting a series on, I'm getting a lot of requests on this one, how to know when it's time to say goodbye to your animal friends and how to go through that process. And yeah, Helen just cringed. It's not easy, but I'm covering all those bases. NewSpiritJournal.com if you want to bring it up online or pick it up for free all over the place. Alrighty then, in case you just joined us, our all-time, forever, most popular guests, adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer are here. Before we leave Africa and get with the wolves, Bill reminded me of a funny thing because it's been a while since we talked to you about your last trek to Africa. Mm-hmm. And you ended up staying with a tribe, and somebody in the tribe spoke good English, I think, so you were able to communicate really well. Mm-hmm. And in your conversations, what, Bill, didn't you, you asked them if there was anything they wanted to know about you. And of all the questions, can you imagine, Mike, that the African tribe would want to know about Helen and Bill? Got any idea what they asked?
Couldn't even venture a guess, but I'm curious.
Yeah. What'd they want to know?
They want to know how many wives Bill had.
Good question.
And he pointed to me, and it was like they immediately felt sorry for him.
Because he only had one wife. And then they were trying to come up with more wives for poor Bill because he only had one.
He could have come home with a lot of wives. And then the next question that we were asked, because we've always liked to know what they will ask us. This is part of how we learn things about them. And the next question was, the women ask me, who takes care of your husband when you're sick? And I said, he takes care of himself. Well, they were just appalled. They couldn't understand that. And the question was never asked, who takes care of me if Bill is sick? It's always the husband. In these tribes all over the world, they're all it's all about the men. The women are simply subservient to the men. And it's a very different culture, different way.
So there's no, are most Muslims in terms of faith?
The Muslims, people, they have a different way to the men are heads of the household. And in some areas, the Muslim faith is stronger than others. And so they keep more to the traditional ways more than some other places.
So there's no You've Come a Long Way Baby and Virginia Slims in Africa.
Oh, no.
No.
No, 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 no. Women in the tribes are usually, many times they're treated less than the cattle.
Is that why Bill wants to go back to Africa?
You can get all sorts of wives.
Careful, Bill. You got to want what you want.
And I'll never forget when he pointed to me. It was just the whole group of people was just immediately, they felt great pity for him. And it's like, she's all you've got. Because I felt wonderful. I was like,
oh, yeah, what a great ego boost for you.
All of a sudden, my self-esteem hit the basement.
But it could have created just a ripple of second thought in the women that you visited with.
Well, oh, yes.
What a concept.
It does. When they, we don't press our ways onto these tribes, but they see.
Absolutely.
They see Bill and I interacting as equals, and that. And they notice it. They watch. They watch very carefully. And then they chatter among themselves. And, yeah, it's definitely noticed.
Oh, that's so cute.
But it's noticed by the men, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I have to be very careful in what I say.
Well, and you know, pulling the elder card saved your life when you, from the Gobi Desert, inadvertently crossed the border.
We get to live with these tribes away back. In the areas where they're still living the ancient traditional lifestyles simply because of our age.
Yeah, so if you're an oldie moldie and cross a border somewhere you shouldn't, you try pulling the elder card.
It
saved Helen and Bill. Yeah. All right. Well, now, let's since this has become so popular now, and like I told you, I think it's one of my all-time favorite books. Well, all of Helen's books are fabulous. And if you haven't read them, you just need to read them. If you just want fabulous reading, and you'll want to read them over and over again. Three Among the Wolves. When did this take place, actually? Because Charlie was still alive,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, this was in about 95. It took place over to the winter of summer, and then the winter was like, 94, 95.
So you'd obviously always wanted to learn more about wolves.
Yes.
But couldn't figure out a way to do it. But now you had Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And so you figured he could be like a liaison.
Yes, because we
tell us how you went all about this.
We had this dream of studying wild wolves in the true wild, where they just go to a wolf den and live close by and study them. But we knew that was impossible because the wolves would leave. So when Charlie came along, then we thought there might be a chance that he could, because basically he spoke wolf, you might say, and so he could be the liaison between us and the wolf family, and that's how it worked. He actually became, and we encouraged this to happen, he became our alpha male, and we were his pack. And we made this appear this way to the wolf families.
Well, how'd you do that?
Well, in the beginning, when we first would encounter the wolves in the pack, he would be very submissive in order to be accepted.
Didn't challenge the wolves.
Oh no, no, that would have been the finish of the whole thing. He could have got killed, and so and he knew exactly what to do. We would stay behind him, and we would show submission and like your head down below the level of the eye level of the wolves.
Huh.
Follow Charlie's lead, and then when he would go to the little stream to drink, we would go after him and drink, showing that he was our alpha. He would go first. And so we kept this up for about 3 weeks.
And how close to the wolf pack and the wolf den were you?
Eventually we were able to camp just 100 feet from the den.
Can you imagine? Wow.
We never dreamt that we could ever get so close. But Charlie showed the right amount of submission, and he was accepted fairly quickly by the alpha male. once that happened, Charlie was in. And now we, it took us a lot longer because.
And so did they actually come nose to nose and all of that?
Yes, and especially the alpha female who had the pups, she and Charlie really set up a good rapport. And so, but we, it took longer for Bill and I to gain their trust, of course, because we're humans and we're not to be trusted. It was for good reason, because half of this pack had been wiped out the year before by aerial shooting and so-called hunters. And so, but we had to really work. We had to be careful not to gain direct eye contact, move very slowly around camp, never advance toward the den any closer than Charlie. Charlie marked his territory. We never crossed his invisible territorial line toward the den. We always went out the back side. Always showing respect to Charlie and sort of staying behind him, walking behind him. So and it worked out very well, just through tactics and patience and time and patience.
I just want to interrupt for just a moment because I think it looks like we're getting a message from, I can't see who's at the phone. Is it Kathy or is it Ajie? Doesn't matter. But anyway, I think we've got somebody on the line who wants to ask a question, but you haven't told me who it is. So I need the name of the caller, and then I'd be delighted to put them on the air if they have questions about Adventure Classroom for Helen. But I'd like to know who we're speaking to. So hold on, we'll get to their questions. But as I remember with Charlie and the Wolves, didn't they get close enough that didn't the female, didn't she introduce him to the pups and stuff?
Yes.
And
when she finally brought the pups out of the den, there were two little brothers. And they teeter-tottered on their little immature legs and their bad eyesight across to Charlie. And he was accepted, more sort of, you might say, like a beloved uncle. And but we, of course, were very careful not to allow them to come close to us because we didn't want our scent on them at all. So we didn't touch the pups. We're often asked, oh, did you pat the pups? No, of course not. These were wild wolves and we wanted them to stay that way. We were just there to learn and observe. And we stayed with the summer pack. We called them the summer pack from early spring, summer, and then all the way through to fall. Then we traveled north to the Canadian border and studied two more packs.
And as I recall, I'm going to have to read this book again. It's been too long, and I'm forgetting some of the details. But seems to me, didn't you somewhere in your tracks between when you were going from one to the other, whatever, I think you observed some very interesting relationship behaviors between, like, wolves and, was it polar bears? And there was some real interesting stuff you observed.
In the beginning, we saw interaction between the wolves, for the summer pack, wolves and grizzly. We actually saw food sharing between the two.
That's it. Tell us about that.
Well, the grizzly, on this occasion, the wolves were successful in a hunt. They ate some, and then they stepped aside and allowed this grizzly to come in and eat. And then the grizzly went away. The wolves resumed eating. And then it was back and forth where they allowed the grizzly to eat. There was also interaction with ravens. Ravens play games with wolves. And tease them and to get a game started. And they're very protective, very smart birds. We were amazed at how they even interacted with us. And then during the winter phase of the study, we traveled north to the Canadian border in the Arctic Ocean to watch polar bears and wolves interact. Because when we've been out on the Arctic Ocean before, we've seen wolves several miles off the coastline and thinking, well, what in the world are wolves doing out here? All their prey is on land. And so, but we have an Inuit wolf biologist who told us that he told us where there was a large population of polar bears off the coast because there are a lot of seals there. So there were a lot of polar bears there. And he said, you'll see what you've come to look, what you're looking for, because we wanted to see, we suspected food sharing between wolves and polar bears.
Yeah.
And we actually saw it. We actually saw a polar bear dive into the water, flip a seal out onto the ice, eat part of it, walk away, and allow the wolves to finish off. There was a family of 11 wolves out there.
Wow.
And then we saw this on three occasions, so it was very obvious that there was sharing between the wolves and the polar bears. But the thing that we've never figured out is what is in it for the polar bears. And the only thing we can come up with is that these species of animals have figured it out. They figured that if they all help each other to survive, they'll all be okay. Something that we humans have not figured out yet.
But Amazing, isn't it? We did
never been documented before, and we saw that with our own eyes. So that's what we went. Because it was very dangerous traveling among so many polar bears, but we finally we did it.
Well, now we are going to take a brief time out at the moment to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in the show. Remember, without them, there's no us. So please listen, pay attention, support them, thank them. And we will come back and talk more about the wolves. And if you have questions for Helen and Bill about any of their treks, the Adventure Classroom, whatever's going on, we have some time. And we rarely have time to do that. So pick up your phone, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville, or give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Manson Mitchell welcomes world-renowned psychic medium John Holland on Friday. We just speak his name and watch the phone lines light up.
Then on Saturday, the Astro Babe, Alicia Michelle, is in studio with up-to-the-minute information about what the stars reveal for the rest of 2012.
As we like to call her, the Dean of the College of Astrological Knowledge knows all.
That's Manson Mitchell, Friday mornings at 10 and Saturday at 11 a.m. on Alternative Talk 1150 KKNW.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, flower essences, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And boy, we're winding down this show. If you have a question for our all-time most popular guests, adventure travelers Helen and Bill Thayer, phone lines are open, 425-373-5527, and toll-free at 1-888-298-5569. And there's still time to shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right, so now you actually, was it three different packs of wolves that you spent time with during that year?
That's right, yes. There was a summer pack and then two winter packs, one out on the Arctic Ocean and one on the Mackenzie Delta, just on the northern coast of Canada.
And was Charlie able to bond with all of them?
Yes. The ones out on the Arctic ice pack, he didn't bond so much there. His job out there was to guard and the polar bears, to make sure the polar bears didn't come in. He was our guard dog. As soon as we left the northern coast of Canada, he became a polar bear guard dog, just his old role that I was familiar with when I walked to the pole.
Thank goodness.
Yes. And of course, he was just as good then as he was before.
And it's amazing how much power a dog has around polar bears.
Well, when they know what to do, of course, people say, didn't he get hurt? Well, no, because he knew to never go in to a polar bear straight on, because a polar bear's one swipe of a front paw or one bite would destroy a dog.
Yeah.
So what he'd do, he'd go straight at them at the last minute, whip that body around and grab the heel, one of the heels, and hang on. And of course, that's really quite distracting.
So he actually physically confronted them.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm.
So there was a skill involved.
Yes.
A huge skill. Mm-hmm. So, right straight on in there.
And then last moment, he whipped his
body
around.
Out and around and get him in the heels.
Yes. On the back leg. And then and just hang on. And of course, which distracts the polar bear completely.
Well, now here's a little sidetrack, because Chuck from Monroe called. And he's a longtime listener.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to know about, because I think he's thinking, 74 and 85, and you guys are trekking all over the planet, mm-hmm. climbing mountains and doing all this stuff. He says, I want to know about their nutrition while they're at home and on the treks. So how do you guys eat? How do you stay in?
Well,
we know that you exercise and stuff, but how do you eat?
We eat pretty basic. We eat a lot of fruit and a lot of vegetables, a moderate amount of meat. We don't eat beef anymore because it's harder to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, without any guilt, we'll have a, if it's a birthday or something, I'll have my carrot cake, and I can consume a large quantity of that all by myself.
A large quantity of carrot cake.
And we do that without guilt, but generally speaking, it's fruit, vegetables, a moderate amount of meat, and some vitamins and so forth. But on the treks, well, it's a little bit different. It's where we, wherever we go, we have to change our diet. And sometimes it's not very healthy. When you're walking to the pool, you're eating a lot of fat. And, of course, complex carbohydrates to keep the energy going. It's not necessarily a very healthy diet on an expedition because you're taking what you have to take in order to survive the climate.
In that climate. Mm-hmm. Okay. And like when you, these recent treks to Africa and so forth, did you eat what the indigenous people were
yes,
eating?
Yes, we cook and eat with them. We would take a supply of brown rice and staples like that as a backup. But we basically eat what they eat. Sometimes it's hard to eat it, but we, when we live with the Bushmen, we would go out hunting with them, and we'd end up having to. You know, it's an honor to give the guest a bird head and so forth, and the whole head and things like that. You just have to get used to eating those sort of things. So try to think of something else while you eat some of them.
So did you ever, in any of your treks, ever run into anything you wouldn't eat?
Yeah, we don't. With the Maasai, they drink a lot of cattle blood.
Ooh.
And we couldn't do that. That was just that was too much. It was in the Amazon. I just can't stand tarantulas. There's something so creepy about them for me. I won't even photograph them. But we had to eat a roasted tarantula.
Ooh.
Because it's so roasted that you
like
sort of
hair
know,
and all.
Yeah,
and
you sort of know what you're eating, but you try not to think about it. And the Gobi, Bill was just reminding me about the Gobi, the mutton and the Gobi. They eat a lot of mutton.
Well,
and
that's lamb, isn't it?
Well, it's sheep. It's
sheep?
Matured
sheep. Sheep, okay.
And they'll take it and hang it up inside their gear, and it's
the gear would be the
living like the
compound.
Yurt.
The yurt, yeah.
It's what they live in. Be in Russian, it's yurt. In Mongolian, it's ger, G-E-R. And they'll have this big chunk of mutton, mature mutton hanging, and it's been there for a few days, so it's well on its way to being rather ripe, and they consider that a great delicacy.
Do they eat it raw or do they cook it?
They'll lightly fry it, very light.
Ew.
But you can't take away that taste. We thought we were sure to die of food poisoning, but we never got sick. It was amazing. We were eating unpasteurized foods, dairy foods, from the camels and the sheep and the goats and horse milk. But we didn't get sick. And of course, this mutton, it was pretty hard to take. But the blood, I think the only thing we've really ever really refused is the blood.
Well, that makes sense. And is that when, because in some cultures, if you refuse what they offer you to eat, that's considered really bad manners, and you're in trouble for that sort of thing.
Yes, you have to be very careful. When it came to the blood, we just explained it away by your stomachs are so much stronger than ours. We are a Western culture. Our stomachs, you have to sort of belittle yourself a little bit and make them feel good that our stomachs are not like yours. And we just can't take these things like you can. And then they feel very proud because, we've got something that we can do better than you. You make them feel good while you're refusing.
All right. Now, I just want to say, Kathy, Ashi, are you guys listening? We're very limited in time. So could you find out what the specific questions are about Adventure Classroom, and then we'll address those before we run out of time. So I think a good point for Chuck and Monroe is really, you guys are not fanatical about what you eat.
Oh, no.
And like Bill was pointing out, you have a bottle of water here, but also have a little bottle of Coke.
Yes, I'm just...
So you're not...
Normally, I never drink Coke because it's not... As we know, it's not good for us, but I had this dreadful cold a while ago. So I get a bit of a cough, and I figure, well, if anything will drown the cough, it'll probably be the Coke. If the Coke doesn't kill me, it'll help the cough. So that's a sort of special occasion, but Coke is not in our diet. But no, we're not fanatics. Celebrate the birthday or something, or just plain flat out like having that apple pie, eat it without... Yeah. Without
well,
shame and
like
have a good
a
time.
Balance, but I think it is important to note that primarily you eat a lot of fruits.
Yes,
a lot of vegetables
every day.
I just read the latest information on how important it is to eat a lot of fruit, but to eat it on an empty stomach. And, we as Westerners, we're kind of... we're kind of taught that fruit can be used as a dessert mm-hmm. and to eat it after meals. And the fact of the matter is that that fruit is digested very, very quickly, and it can ferment and if it sits in the stomach on top of a lot of other food. Mm-hmm. So you are much better off to eat fruit on an empty stomach or eat it first.
Yeah, we eat fruit first, and we eat it between meals as a snack.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we eat probably for dinner, and I steam vegetables. I never boil them. I steam them.
Okay.
We might have 5 or 6 vegetables with the evening meal, plus a green salad and plus some nuts so that we get to all the
okay, so you are
spectrum.
Really healthy on, mm-hmm. in that regard.
Like our salad would be spinach, tomatoes, a red pepper, some avocado, and some walnuts or other nuts. And then sometimes I get out the cottage cheese and put a selection of various berries. So the berries are wonderful right now,
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes is the salad. Some on a very hot day, sometimes we'll have a green salad with all the goodies with it, and then perhaps a fruit salad as well, and that can be a meal on a hot day.
Yeah.
And then of course we're careful about our protein, that we get enough protein to maintain tissue. And
so a lot of nuts and so forth.
Yep.
And then you said
fruits and vegetables, fruits and vegetables, berries and nuts of all kinds, and green vegetables, yellow vegetables, root vegetables.
And when you do eat meat, what kind of meat do you eat? You said no beef. You don't eat
any
beef anymore.
No, because it's harder for us to digest that. Chicken or pork.
Do you eat any fish?
Some fish. We're concerned about the mercury in the fish, which is a terrible shame. And I once, by mistake, we thought we were buying wild salmon, but we ended up, it turned out that it was improperly labeled. It was farm raised, and it sent me to the emergency room.
Really?
And the doctor there told me that sometimes they do get people in who've eaten fish from a pen that's had too much antibiotic, too much food coloring, too much growth hormone fed to them, and you get caught.
Well, it's interesting now, because where was I? I think I was just at Costco looking at salmon, and it was well marked in terms mm-hmm. of what was farmed.
Yeah.
And then when I looked at ingredients, it had color
mm-hmm.
Due to food.
Mm-hmm.
So they
mm-hmm.
actually feed them these farmed fish stuff to turn them, you know, pink or
yeah,
orange
because
to
salmon,
look like salmon.
Their natural color comes from eating their natural foods in the ocean. Or the rivers, that doesn't come from a pen full of fish. So they have to give them chemicals in order to make them that color. And then there are the growth hormones and antibiotics. And so I got caught with it that one time and ended up in the emergency room. And the doctor then said he does get a case in every now and again from farm-fed salmon.
Yeah, so I only buy wild caught. But I was talking to some folks the other day, and they made me think, saying, "Well, what does wild caught really mean?" Mm-hmm. When they don't say wild, so they say wild caught. So what does that mean? They open the pen and let them loose, and then mm-hmm. catch them,
yeah.
And they can call them wild caught. But I mean, I don't know. Does anybody know the answer to that?
Don't know, but we do. We know one man who ate a lot of fish. And he was actually dying of mercury poisoning. And so the dentist took his mercury, fillings out
uh-huh.
and replaced them and told him never, never eat fish again in your life
wow.
because of the mercury.
They're also finding tuna that have high levels of radioactivity in it from
the Japan?
The meltdown.
I imagine so.
Yep.
So we love fish. I would love to have fish. So what we do is to replace it for the omegas with the walnuts. And there's a lot of foods that flax meal and all these sorts of things. We also use mm-hmm. Olive oil in cooking too, so we get olive oil. But there's a lot of foods that have the omegas in that you can replace.
Yeah, a lot of things naturally.
Careful.
And of course... Well, I don't know. The masters told me, I think 20 years ago, that the day would come when fish were not edible anymore.
We're
and we're
that.
Rapidly close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the masters and the guru yogi lineage, they, of course, are big fans of being vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Yogananda said, and which I totally agree with, that if you're going to eat meat protein, eat the lesser intelligent levels, mm-hmm. Rather than not the beef, but because the and the reason being is the factory farming. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that these animals are so abused, mm-hmm. in the process, and they're intelligent enough to know, yeah, that and, yeah, feel it. So it affects the quality.
Our opinion is that we would be a lot better off if we didn't. Animals would be a lot better off if we humans did not eat meat.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah,
all kinds, because of the,
right,
of the abuse.
Or if we did it in a way, you know, that we really scaled down on what we're doing much less and raised, mm-hmm. them with love, killed, mm-hmm. them with love. And that's a tough thing to do. We got to quit. No cheese, or do you eat cheese and eggs? There's a,
yes,
question here.
We eat dairy, yes.
You eat dairy? Okay.
Yep. Love cheese.
Yeah, yeah. I've moved totally away from milk, and I do almond milk now, which I just,
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm lactose intolerant and so forth. But
no, we don't have any problem with that. So we have dairy, no problem.
I do a lot of yogurt too.
Mm-hmm. I eat a lot of yogurt. I like yogurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yogurt and fruit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sometimes,
yeah,
that's my breakfast.
Yeah, the more fruit and vegetables, the better. I'm also soy allergic, and mm-hmm. and with all, I'm learning all about the Pleckner syndrome and everything. Soy is loaded with estrogen, so I try, and it's tough. It's probably harder to avoid soy now than it is to avoid gluten and things, mm-hmm. Which is tough when you don't want gluten and you don't want soy. It's like there's not a whole lot left out there.
Grow a spinach patch and go graze.
Yeah, yeah. So now you mentioned that you do some vitamins and so forth. Anything in particular?
We have some supplements, just basic supplements. Careful of the vitamin D in our climate and so forth. And fish oil capsules, but we are very careful that we buy them from a company that that uses only deep sea northern Norwegian deep sea fish, so that we're not getting, hopefully not getting the contaminants. Contaminants in these things are such a worry, and we're not fanatics, but we still try to be careful.
Well, I learned from Udo Erasmus, who of course was the creator of the first missing link formulas. He is kind of like the guru of fats and oils, and he wrote one of the definitive books, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he brought to light the fact that just taking omega-3 is not good.
No.
You need a balance of omega-3,
yep,
6, and now 9's been,
that's
added,
right,
in there. And there are some things like fish oils, primarily just omega-3.
Mm-hmm.
Oil of evening primrose was real big for a long time, mm-hmm. but it's just omega-3.
No, you need,
balance.
You need a balance of all things. That's why... we know somebody who takes an enormous amount of vitamin A, but that's all she takes, and there's no balance. And dietary balance is important.
All right.
You eat too much of one thing. You could live on, I love yogurt, but if I lived on yogurt, I'd have probably had great calcium intake, but I need other things to absorb that calcium. So you have to have a good balance.
Okay. So
and
you're
you
not fanatical,
no,
but you're balanced. And when you go to other cultures and other parts of the world, you do tend to eat like the natives do, unless it's something you just can't, you just can't do. And then you are polite in how
part of our success in learning and having these people interact with us, because that's not easy to achieve. But because of our age and because we go there and throw our Western ways away and have them teach us and be totally respectful to them and their culture, that's why we're successful in our work.
All right. So before we run out of time, let's remind everybody that all three of your books are available through your website, and that's www.HelenTheyer.com. First one, Polar Dream. Second one, Three Among the Wolves. And third book is Walking the Gobi.
Mm-hmm.
You can order all three through Helen's website, mm-hmm. and she'll autograph them and send them to you. So that's very cool. The Adventure Classroom is also accessible through the website.
That's right. Just click on to Adventure Classroom, and it'll take you to Adventure Classroom. You'll see more videos, African video, Three Among the Wolf video is the latest one. webmaster is a very gifted man, and he's gradually developing a series of videos and other materials that can be downloaded and used.
Excellent.
In
and so an Adventure Classroom works that we obviously you would set up a time and what you come to the actual classroom.
Yes.
And is it still a slideshow presentation as you speak?
Digital, with a PowerPoint program and motivational, informative, photographic.
And do you does the classroom pick the subject ahead of time?
Yeah, the faculty will teach it, will choose which program they want. And it's basically I fit the school schedule, where anything they want from me, that's the way I will do it. For adult events, in fact, last week I was down at the Nisqually Wildlife and Nature Reserve and presented the program on wolves. That was about an hour long, then question and answers afterwards. And then I'm off to corporate America. They like all my three programs and so on.
So you do, it's about an hour presentation?
Yeah, 50 minutes, 45. I tailor it. I spoke recently to the YWCA in Bellingham. That was a 30-minute program, Paul a Dream, and motivational. So basically, I think you're describing
so you
as cater, a motivational
you cater to the venue and what they want and
their
the
theme.
Time and,
the theme
and so
their,
forth.
The theme of their, I speak at conventions, banquets, and all these sorts of things. They all have a theme. I fit my theme to their theme.
Flat fee, or does it range depending on what?
It just is all negotiable.
Okay. The caller wants, they must not have been listening, caller, wants to know if you're living without a dog. I think you said you currently have six.
Yes.
Is that correct? So that would be no.
We rescue, and they're all rescues. We rescue. They just seem to come our way.
Yeah,
we
the last one was by the side of the road, a big guy, and that's the one I came out to help you with.
Yes.
And that was an amazing experience all on its own, because he had no idea how to walk on a leash. And actually, that one of the first dogs that I had ever worked with, in the process of me leash training him, he actually stopped and sat and said, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand.
That's right.
I didn't understand before, mm-hmm. Martha. Now I understand.
Yeah.
And from that second forward, he was perfect.
Oh, yes. He's
and
a
he
marvelous
remains.
Dog.
You said he remains from
absolutely
that.
Wonderful.
And it was not a question of having to train and train mm-hmm. and train. It's like, but he actually said to me, I was like, I was kind of shocked at the time. And I was talking to Bill, and I was like, he said, I understand. I didn't understand before. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, he could show it in his eyes, the way he tilts his head, and, oh, yeah, I get the idea. And we get this message from him all the time. Very smart, and of course, all of our animals are all rescued.
All right, so plans, any treks on the calendar at this point? Or
well, we're hoping to go to northeast Ethiopia this fall to study the Afar people in the Darnakil Desert. Does it live with them?
Okay, well, fall's not that far off.
No, it's a pretty desperate lifestyle, but we have to see what's happening. There's some fighting on the border.
Ah.
We don't want to get caught up in a civil war, so we have to wait. Then there's Australia, the Aboriginal people in the Simpson Desert. There's a lot of places, a lot of the world to cover yet.
All right. Well, you keep me posted on your treks and
definitely
so forth,
will.
And I got to get out to your place. You got to get to mine, and we'll stay in touch so that we don't have as much time go by. And in all fairness, you were scheduled to be here in January, mm-hmm. but we had that big snowstorm and a tree crashed the donkey shed. And so
donkey bar went by. Donkey's okay. She's safe. But now she has the most wonderful corral and barn. She's living in donkey heaven. She loves it. She just absolutely loves the new barn that we built for her.
Thank you so much, Helen and Bill Thayer. HelenThayer.com if you're interested in getting the books or Adventure Classroom. And not to fear, maybe next time we'll be back. We'll have some kind of radio slideshow or something now that we got Mike on board who knows how to do these things. So
we could give it a whirl.
We'll be powwowing about all that. We will be back again next week, last Sunday of the month at Shelter Rescue Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check with the birds and the horses. We're going to talk about the upcoming fundraisers. We'll listener that's doing the Facebook thing to help animals and a prayer group and all that stuff. So we're going to have all kinds of great things. Remember, Humane Society till 6 for kittens and Mud Bay in Overlake for Perfect Pals adoptions. So get on over there. And as always, let me, and thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ajie, Kathy. As always, let me remind you, animals have feelings. feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to open your heart and share your love with all living things, and we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.